Welcome to your Friday Night Live, 27th October. What is it? The end of the year is going to be 1-2-3, 1-2-3 this year. Isn't that great? Got me an annual subscription, says Richard. Even better, since most who like probably won't comment or donate. Listen, if you sign up for a yearly, you get 2 months free. So that's good. That's good. Let's see here. Somebody says, sorry if I wasn't clear about my donation promises. I didn't mean to mislead. But JFC, you are at least coming across to me as unnecessarily vitriolic. Let's start the stream on the same team for philosophy, brother. Does that not seem unnecessarily complicated to you? Does that seem unnecessarily complicated? Maybe. I don't know what that means. All right. Let's see here. Philosophical take on the weight loss drug Ozempic. Do you remember? Hit me with a Y if you remember a drug called Olestra. Do you remember Olestra? Do you remember why people? Yeah, it was anal leakage, which was, you know, it's a fine name for a vitriolic punk band, but not so great if you're, say, on a date. My imitation of a guy on a date experiencing anal leakage. So yeah, there I was. I was in the re- excuse me. There you go. There's your hacking. There's your hacking for the evening. There's my Brando moment of, and this is why I went to hacking school. Oh, the hacking. Putting the hack in acting. All right. So let's see here. What do we got? Yeah, listen, I'm all for you guys tonight. I did my thing yesterday. So I don't know, weight loss drug? Just stop fucking eating. Just stop eating. Everybody knows what to do. Just eat less and exercise more. And then hopefully you don't end up with those sacks of flesh hanging down like a loosened sail from a storm. So, yeah, let's see here. If you had a monobrow, would you perform regular plucking? A monobrow? Do monobrows go with blue eyes? I think monobrows are pretty much a non-blue-eyed phenomenon. All right. Let's get some stream shares. That's right, Josh, you were absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Share it out. Share it out. All right. Let me just scroll down. Do you have any insights on how much caution or prudence is too much when making big decisions? Is there a healthy balance between being reckless and being fearful? Well, Nate, ask me how I know you didn't play unsupervised outside as a child very much. Nate, did you, in fact, get a lot of anarchic free time playing outside with other kids and or yourself, but completely unsupervised? Let me just make sure I hang on to this question. Why am I asking this? I'm sure everybody knows. Taylor, I will get to your question too. How do we learn? Just finished the Fountainhead, couldn't help thinking you are Rourke 2.0. Well, I appreciate that. Not quite as skinny, but I'm fairly good at badminton. So, comments on the main shooting? Yeah, I'm happy to talk about the main shooting, if you like. Not really, although I was homeschooled. Right. Is the Peaceful Parenting book available as a PDF? No, not yet. How do you learn as a kid, or how do you learn as an adult to take risks? You take risks as a kid. You take risks as a kid. Hit me with a Y if you took all kinds of insane risks as a child and learn how to balance risk and fun and danger. Right. So this is one of the big problems. Like, if you see the delicacy of the younger generation, you know, there's this sort of famous video on Twitter of this woman who's saying, like, I can't handle this 9-to-5 thing. Like, I've got this commute and it's long and like I'm not designed for this. And, you know, I'm too tired in the evening to do anything other than make my own food and go to bed. And I can't have a social life and I can't find a boyfriend. And people are like mocking her. And it's like, well, first of all, the amniotic sack of higher education, you know, listen, man, come on. We got a smart crew here. We got a smart crew here. If you're smart, how tough is school and university? If you're smart, how tough is it? I mean, it used to be a little tougher. Now the standards have just, right? I mean, it's easy, easy peasy. It's easy peasy. You can do it in your sleep. It's trivial. It's boring. I mean, the thing you have to, yeah, I didn't even go to class in university, just went and took the test. Yeah. It's pretty easy. Now, I remember when I first started looking into university, I'm like, what? What? Like 10 hours of classes a week? Are you crazy? Right? Are you crazy? I didn't show up for high school and got high marks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hit me with a why if you did homework when you were in junior high and high school. Did you do homework? Did you do homework? No, of course not. What were you doing instead of doing homework? I mean, you know, I mean, big tests or essays or whatever, you do that shit. But of course you don't do homework because you're out with friends. You're doing fun stuff. You're learning how to dirt bike. You're jumping stuff. You're going garbage picking. You're going and down and cooking beans on a fire in the woods. Anything else, right? I'd rather stare at wall. And I experienced homework as a kind of intrusive anal slavery. Intrusive anal slavery. Honestly, it just felt like a slow bureaucratic rape of my innards. It was a matter of pride to not do homework for me. Not that I'm suggesting it for anyone out there. But no, it's just a matter of pride. I read something. What did I read the other day? It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Somebody said, what's the most extreme sport there is? And it's like doing homework while the teacher is collecting it. Yeah, homework is like, fuck you, I'm home. I hate school. You're boring as hell. Like, the last thing I'm going to do is do it at home as well. Oh my God, are you kidding me? It's just a matter of pride. Like, no, fuck off. You've got to be kidding me. Yes, it's a pride thing, but not like they talk about these days. It's like, no, I'd rather do anything. I mean, plus I had three jobs at times in high school because I was paying rent from 15 onwards, right? It's like, I don't respect it. It's bullshit. I'm not getting paid for it. I'm going to go play. I'm going to go have fun, or I'm going to go make some money. But I'm not going to sit here and work through this shit. Oh, my God. I almost flunked sixth grade because I wouldn't do the homework. Yeah. Well, the school has become even more retarded now. It was bad before, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous now. Yeah. Now, I didn't mind it in university, and I certainly didn't mind it in grad school because I was choosing my own topics, and I loved to do it, right? But, oh, man. I didn't do homework or go to class, and you got to be average. Yeah. It wasn't quite as gynocentric when I was growing up, but it's certainly much worse now. But yeah, it's like, do you still have guidance counselors? Are they a thing? Wait, you have guidance counselors? Is that a thing these days? Just out of curiosity. Do you have guidance counselors? Yeah. So the guidance counselor in my high school had a tiny windowless office with those horrible big painted bricks. And he had like one half flickering fluorescent light over his desk. And he looked like just about the most depressed guy known to man. I'm like, yeah, I'm really going to take advice on a career from a guy who ended up here. Absolutely. Lay it on me, man. Can I be as successful as you? Maybe I can be such a successful guidance counselor that they'll actually fix the light and give me a second pencil. Oh, joy. Why? Why? Oh, guidance counselors is absolutely embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. In gym class, my teacher was 400 pounds and always had McDonald's. Yes, but I'm assuming that was pure muscle. We had some pretty ugly gym teachers from the female side. Anecdotally, my sister's becoming a guidance counselor. Her emotional control is abysmal. Yes. Any guidance counselor that wasn't talking to you about Bitcoin can stick his whole net up his arse and yodel as far as I'm concerned. It's just really sad. Oh, my gosh. Somebody says, oh, I just got done with 7 hours of school, 2 hours of wrestling practice. Now I have to do 2 hours of homework. Must just be lazy. Yeah, no, homework was just, it was just a battle of wills for me. It was just a battle of wills for me. Like, I just, I was like, okay, what's the, it was like a game, like a, an edge game, which was how little can I do and do okay? How little can I do and do okay? It was really, really essential to me. I just like, I couldn't subject myself in that way. Someone says, I found homework solutions online and just copied them. Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't have, of course, the internet when I was a kid, but it was very much like, put your work up on the board and you go there, just put down some stuff. And then you're like, eh, you know, I kind of got stuck here. Did you ask anyone? No, my mom was working. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Just sad. With ChatGPT, surprised anyone is doing homework themselves these days. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get to these questions. What to do with American women who want money, i.e. allowances for things like their rent, their nails, being taken shopping, or paying for everything? Wait, you're dating women who want money? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? You're dating women who want you to pay their bills? It's called being a wife and raising your children. Other than that, go pound sand, lady. You got to be kidding me. Is that a thing? Is that a thing where women say, I would really like you to pay, to pay my bills? That's a thing? No, really? Women are straight up just saying, pay my bills. That is hilarious. It's called being a sugar baby. Oof. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have anything to do with a woman like that. There was a guy, he was pretty funny. This was on Twitter. Somebody was saying, let me ask you this. So if this was you, right? Somebody said, when I'm bored, I message the hookers on Backpage and see if I can get them to do manual labor. And so there's a text message where he says, hey, what are your prices? And the woman says, $100 half hour, $150 for an hour. And he says, and you'll do anything I want? She's like, yes, papi. Okay, good. I have a really long fence that needs to be painted. Shouldn't take you more than 30 minutes. I have cash. And she's like, like an actual fence? So he just tries to get them to do manual labor. What would you ask them to do if you had that? Like, what would you ask them to do? Hey, my Christmas lights need hanging and it's kind of icy. So if you could bring a ladder, that'd be fantastic. Can you call the prostitute, ask her to bring a ladder? You'll need it to mount my penis on the wall like a trophy. So I thought that was pretty funny. So yeah, I wouldn't have anything. Degrease the stove. That's right. I need you to bring a little French maid outfit. Why? Is that your fantasy? Yes, that somebody will clean my house. That's my fantasy. Listen, can you clean my gutters? That probably means something in the S&M world that we probably don't even want to examine. Do not figure that out. Have them wear watermelon helmet. Yeah, I have 4 more elastics put around my watermelon for my TikTok video. I kind of need you to do it. Yeah. I like ping pong. No, that's not code for anything. Just come on over and play some ping pong. Oh, Lord. I, you know, scalding your ears time. I was watching this woman. She was on Twitter and she was talking about how she hooked up with some basketball player, but he didn't want to have sex with her. He just wanted her to eat his ass. I don't even know what that means. I don't even want to know. But she was saying the next morning she woke up and she's like, damn, I have pink eye. Pink eye from the stink eye. Oh, and I'm like, please, Lord, Gabriel, please blow the trumpets. It's time. I don't care if it rains for 51 days and 51 nights. It's like, please, let's just, I can't handle this stuff anymore. The stuff that's out there is just almost too vile. And she was just like giggling and laughing about it and all that, right? Yeah, no kidding. Nasty stuff. Nasty, nasty stuff. Somebody says, oh yeah, somebody says, somebody who was a sex worker said a friend of hers, a guy bought an hour of her time and then asked her to just list all of her biggest regrets. Of course, she ended up in tears, right? Gabriel, blow the trumpets. Yeah, that meme is pretty... Okay, comments on the main shooting. It is new and still hard to interpret, so no one worries if you skip that. Do you care? Do you want to know my thoughts about the main shooting? Is he still at large? He's still at large, isn't he? I think that there's some explosions at his house or something like that, or nearby his house, so he could be... So I think he's an ex-soldier, and he was, of course, in an institution, and as far as I remember, and he threatened to shoot up places before, and he also had hearing problems, so he got fitted with a hearing aid, and then he started hearing voices, and apparently some of the people he shot were deaf people who he thought were making fun of him, and of course he was on all of the big pharma drugs known to man, I'm sure that that would be, and nobody will ever talk about the connection. And for more on this, you got to watch my presentation called The Destruction of America's Mental Healthcare System. It's one of the basic Marxist things, right? They empty the jails and they empty the asylums. And, this guy was an obvious threat. He developed schizophrenia apparently in his 40s, which is kind of unusual. I think it's more of a 20s thing. But yeah, I mean, he should be on everyone's radar. He'd made violent threats and was hearing voices telling him to kill people. And of course, he shouldn't have been out, but he's out because it benefits the government, right? Oh, yes, that's right. If you could tip, I'd appreciate that. I mean, if you tipped last night, just sit back and enjoy. But if it's been a while, if you could tip here, you can tip on the app. I would really, really appreciate it. What do I talk about with my woke daughter? Oof. Oof. It's a win-win for them, make money in pharmaceuticals, and then push for gun control. Yeah. Yeah. I will tip the number of likes at the end of the stream, live only. Thank you very much, Josh. I appreciate that. It's very kind. This kind of event in psychotropics seems to be a recurring theme. Well, when you get more power from people feeling in danger, you have no incentive to keep them safe. I'm sorry, it's just this became sort of boringly predictable and ridiculously repetitive, right? And there's no point being right too early. You just get arrows in the back and no bouquets at your funeral. So no thank you. I'll just wait for the world to catch up. It'll never pass us by, but it'll slowly catch up. Come on, you can get here, you can get here. All right, I'll close. Those questions were answered. What else do we have here? Low-cut tops are for men as fat wallets are to women. I don't even know. Did I just type that myself at some point? I don't know where that came from. I don't know. So what do you talk about with your woke daughter? How did your daughter become woke? College? Who paid for her to go to college? Did she get a scholarship or some sports thing? How did she... You didn't pay for her to go to college? Oh, she got a scholarship? All right. What did she take in college? Oh, she's a registered nurse? Is that right? Did I get that right? RN? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, would you like me to give you the speech that I would give should my daughter be woke? Would you like me to give the straight up speech? All right. Don't give me your daughter's name. Just give me a name. Give me a name for a daughter. I'm not feeling super creative from that standpoint tonight. Tammy. All right. Tammy. All right. Quick question. Sorry, just before I do the speech, Matilda, 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 she take me money and run to Venezuela. All right. Is her father in her life? Is her father in the home? Is Tammy's father in the home? No. Has her father been part of her life growing up? Never has been. All right. Has she had a father substitute of anything like that? Yes. Okay. All right. All right. So I would say something like this. Tammy, great to see you. How are you doing? Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Yeah. What's on your mind? Yeah. Oh, I agree with you, man. There's a lot of injustice in the world. There's a lot of injustice in the world. For sure. I mean, a lot of beautiful things. Yes, there are some groups that aren't doing as well. There are some groups that are doing better, some groups that are doing worse, and so on. It can be like a real substitute for personal virtues to worry about big social things you have little influence over. I mean, you know what I mean? Where you say, okay, rather than figure out how I can be good in my life at some cost, right? Virtue has to come with some cost. Otherwise, it's just like a flapping noise of wind in the sails. So the good that you can do in your own personal life, you know, like, I'm really sorry that you grew up without a dad. That was like not great. Not great at all. That was a huge mistake on my part and has had really, really negative impacts on you. And I'd really like to hear more about those negative impacts because it was just really, really negative. And I love that you're going into the helping profession. Like, you're really going to help people. I think that's wonderful. But here's the thing, you know, I know I don't have a massive amount of credibility as a single mom. And I'm aware of that, and I'm humble about that, but I hope that I have some credibility in that I've made mistakes that you can learn from. I know the last thing I'd want to do is like, oh, I'm so perfect, I'm so good, you should listen to me. I know I've made a lot of mistakes, but it would give some comfort to me. It's a personal favor to me, man. It would give some comfort to me if my mistakes could instruct you. That would be incredible for me. Because that would be some kind of redemption. And again, personal favor, I'm asking personal favor if you're listening a little bit to what I did, what it cost me, and so on. It's the personal virtues that really matter. The social stuff, you know, obviously it's kind of outside of our control. It's like me getting real revved up over, man, they raised interest rates. It's like, what can I really do about it? Now, there's injustice in the family. I married the wrong guy. Your dad didn't stick around. Big problems as far as all of that goes. That's what we really need to heal, right? That's what we really need to heal. Now, healing the family, healing this single mother structure that's going to set up to replicate in you. Like, you know that, right? My mom was a single mom. I'm a single mom. The odds are you're going to have some kind of tendency towards that. And that's really unfair to the future kids. Just as me being a single mom was unfair to you, it's unfair to your future kids. And so we have to kind of figure out, why did I become a single mom? And I know why. I mean, you know, one of these things is like ridiculously obvious when you look back, but it to me was not at all obvious at the time. The reason that I became a single mom and you grew up without a father is one thing and one thing only. I genuinely believed that I didn't need a man. I swallowed a lot of propaganda. My mother genuinely believed that. And what does it mean when you say, I don't need no man, I don't need a man, I can make it on my own, I'm strong, independent, trademark, whatever, right? What does it mean? Well, there's kind of two things. One is that, I mean, let's be honest, right? You didn't grow up with a dad providing, so who provided? Well, the government, the taxpayers, the, you know, government jobs, the subsidies, the, you know, rent control, the SNAP, whatever it was that we used. So I kind of did need men. I needed men to pay taxes so that I could get money for you. So I didn't need men in that sort of really practical, foundational, pay the bills kind of way, number one. And number two, I just I mean, I had this really rebellious streak that I just wasn't going to subjugate myself to a man. It just felt like humiliating. It felt like being a slave. It felt like being wrong. And, you know, that's the funny thing is that it's my biggest regret. Like, I'll be straight up with you. It's like my biggest regret is when I said, I don't need a man, I was also saying on your behalf, you don't need a father. Now, those two things are very different. Obviously, I can choose to live without a man, but then I didn't choose to live without a man's resources. But for me to choose to live without a man is entirely different than choosing for you to grow up without a father, without that bond, without that security, without that protection, without that positive view of man. And, you know, to be honest, over the years, I probably let rip a little bit, or maybe not just a little bit, about your dad. And, you know, you're half your dad. So when I ripped on him, I ripped on you, you know, kind of at the same time. And it was not right. It was just frustration and shame, shame. Ugh, shame, shame, shame. You know, the fact that I couldn't get him to stay. I couldn't get him to love me. I couldn't get him to commit. I wasn't enough for him. You weren't enough for him. Together, we weren't enough for him. And he left. Now that's left a big wound in my heart. And I filled it with resentment. I filled it with anger. I filled it with sometimes the wrong guys, the wrong activities, the wrong behaviors, the wrong habits. And now, I mean, I want to be like, you know, really brutally honest with you and tell you what I'm thinking now. I do need a man. I mean, it's too late in a sense for you to be, I mean, obviously it's too late for you to be raised by a dad, and I'm really sorry for that. That's 100% on me. But I'll tell you, this is like, I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud of this. I'm just telling you straight up where my heart is. I need a man because, and this is something I really want you to learn from, this money's running out. Like this tax money, this government money, you know, they've got about 6.5 million wars going on at the moment. They're pillaging the treasury left, right, and center. Their debt is escalating, and I'm frightened for my future. I'm frightened for danger. Frankly, men are kind of better equipped to protect women from danger than the other way, or women alone. And I'm scared. Like, I'm scared of their not being the money. And when the times were good and the money was flowing and whatever they were doing with the money, borrowing and printing and all that kind of stuff, it felt good. And it kind of dragged me into, I don't need. Now I'm worried. I'm scared. The violence seems to be increasing and the money seems to be decreasing. And at least my children are grown, but you're going to have kids. And what I really want you to think about, and again, I say this with all humility, and I almost don't deserve you listening to me on this, but I really, really feel a desperate need and urge to get this across. I need you, I want you to choose a guy like you're in the wilderness. I know it sounds weird. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but I want you to really think about this. I want you to choose a guy like there's no check coming next week, like there's no support, there's no old age pensions, there's no unemployment insurance. You may not have a paycheck in a year. I want you to choose a guy who's going to really stick with you when the times are tough. I mean, I didn't choose a guy who stuck with us when the times were good. But a guy who's going to be strong, and a guy who's going to stick with you, and a guy who's going to bond with his kids in a way that your daddy never did. A really reliable guy. Not just a pretty guy, not just a tall guy, not just a muscle guy, not just a handsome guy. A guy who's really going to Velcro bond. I mean, I was able to kind of sail through on all this funny money business, and I'm not proud of it, and it wasn't the right thing to do, and Lord knows it gave you the wrong impression of what a family is. Sorry, I'm going to make this about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It gave you the wrong impression of what a family is. A family is a mother and a father who are welded and bonded and devoted to each other in one flesh, and welded and bonded and devoted to their children, one flesh. We didn't have that. We were like leaves in the wind, blowing all over the place. I lived, you know what I did? I lived frivolously. I lived unseriously. I lived vacantly. I lived shallow. Do you know how much I need a partner right now? I can't even tell you. Like, I'm aching. I wake up at night and I'm aching like there's a vacuum in me that can only be filled by someone who's going to be there for me, and who I want to be there for them as well. God, I want that for you. There's almost nothing I wouldn't give to go back and get a do-over and show you the kind of family that I want you to have, not the kind of family that half-family, cut-off family, kind of half-mutilated and dismembered bits. The future is not going to be like the past, and you are not going to get the same continuity of resources that I had. And that's good. I know that's scary, and I'm scared of it. I'm actually quite terrified of it. You know, that get a dog, die alone stuff is really, really scary to me. And the idea that I'm going to have a pension in 15 or 20 years is kind of incomprehensible. And so you're playing with all of these injustices in your head, and I don't want you to miss the biggest injustice that you experience, which I think is kind of leading to all of this stuff, which is that you grew up without a father. I chose the wrong man. I'm terrified. And you are going to need a man. If you want kids, I hope you want kids. Having you was the best thing in my entire life. I hope you want kids. I hope I haven't taken that from you. And I'm really scared, honey, that you've been told that men are bad, that men exploit, that men are tyrants, that there's a patriarchy, that you're really, that you're going to have a really negative view of men. And that's on me. I mean, I can say, oh, it's a school or it's TikTok, but that's on me because I didn't choose a guy who stuck around. So you're going to have a negative view of men. But you still, I mean, let's be frank, you still have a sex drive and you still, you know, want a pair bond and you want kids. I chose the wrong guy. That doesn't mean that there are only wrong guys. There are really good men out there. We haven't seen as many of them as we should. And I'm only realizing this, like, God, I mean, it's too late. It's too late for me. That sounds so dramatic. I mean, but it's certainly not too late for you in terms of getting the family that you want. So I'm concerned that the stuff that you believe is going to lead you to think that there aren't good men out there, and then you're going to end up in the same situation, but it won't be the same situation because there won't be the money or the stability or the security there that there was for me that allowed me to make all these bad decisions that I desperately don't want you to make. Even if everything was the same, I wouldn't want you to make these terrible decisions, but things aren't going to be the same. I mean, this is a joke about men thinking about the Roman Empire. Read that shit. Read that stuff. It matters. It matters. You got a plan. Like, you can't get anything for free. Who would you choose? What man would you choose if you had to plan that you couldn't get anything for free? Everything had to be made or bought or traded or provided or created or grown. I really want you to, because a lot of the stuff that you're into, and I sympathize with it and I understand it. And I feel with you about this stuff. I really do. But a lot of stuff you're into, it's just, I don't want to say it's playtime, like it doesn't matter. It's serious stuff. I get that. But it's kind of, I hate to say indulgence. It's not an indulgence. I'm really, like, I'm scanning to get the right word here. It's not that it's an indulgence. It's that it's stepping over. You know what it is? It's stepping over to push marbles around, but there's a giant chasm, right? And the giant chasm is, we need a better family structure. You need a man. I mean, I need a man. That's my job. You need a good man. And what lulls you, it's like a demonic thing, like these breadcrumbs that lead you off a cliff, is that, oh, you don't need, you get stuff for free, the government will provide, there'll be pensions, there'll be a job security, there'll be unemployment insurance, you'll get mat leave. And I'm telling you, I don't think that stuff's going to be around as long as we think it is. And I wish, again, I don't want to make this about me, but I really wish that I had made my choices as if that stuff wasn't going to be around, because that stuff being around really did not at all help me make a good choice about the father of my children. It drugs you, this free stuff, it drugs you. And I really want you to choose a guy like there's no free stuff, because I don't think there will be. And it's one thing now that you're grown. If you have a little kid and you choose the wrong guy and he takes off, which would be half on me, and then the free stuff dries up. Oh, my God. You know, Rome back in the day went from like 1 million people to 17,000 people in like 6 months. Oh, it could never happen here, but it does. It happens all the time, all throughout history. Average life of a civilization, 200 years, 250 years, over and over and over again. We're not going to escape that. We all know that. There are good men out there who will provide, because that's what men do. And we've chased them all away with this addiction to free stuff. We don't need them. They don't matter. To hell with them. We can get by. Just us. We're cozy. We're tight. We're sisterhood. It's all a lie. And you're young and you're pre-kids, you can make those right choices, those better decisions. But live like everything you need is going to have to be provided by someone who loves you. You know, that's what's missing. You get all this free stuff, but nobody cares about you. They're just buying your votes. They're just leading you down a terrible path. I want you to, again, I know I have no right to say this with any credibility, but I'm just telling you, I really desperately want you to live like everything you need has to be provided by someone who loves you. And don't get into a relationship unless you're sure of that. And please, I'm begging you, don't have a child unless you're sure of that. Now, if you have that and you have a secure family that can weather almost any storm, and you have that bond and you've healed that giant wound within the family that's been going on, I don't even know how long. Then when you have that, you can look at the injustices in the world and try and heal that. But as a good example and knowing what true love is, do you even know? You say, well, I love the poor and I love the underprivileged and so on, and I want to help them. And it's like, I don't know that we know exactly what love is yet. Once you have genuinely loved and you are in love and you have a rock solid family structure, maybe then you can go out and roam and help the world. But right now you're out there roaming and helping the world without fixing this wound right in our hearts. And it's going to lead you to the wrong decision. Because the last thing I wanted to mention, is I want to be needed and I want to need someone. I don't have that. I'm going to try and get that. It's not your job. It's my issue. But if you're hostile towards men, and if you don't, if you think that there's a patriarchy and that men are bad and you don't need a man. I mean, a quality man is desperate to be needed, because needing is bonding, and bonding is security, and security is stability. He wants to provide, he wants to protect, but he needs to be needed. I mean, you wouldn't want to marry someone who openly said, "I don't need no woman. Women are just tyrants, nags. I don't need a woman." Would you want to pair bond with someone like that? And my concern is that the, you know, this sort of wokey stuff is like, it's going to drive good men away at a time when this family absolutely, desperately needs stability. It needs security. What is going to get us through the rough times ahead is true, deep, visceral, powerful love. We're going to need that. We can't get married to the government. We can't rely on free stuff forever. Debt's going to do something. I don't know. I'm not an economist, but it's going to do something. And the future ain't going to be the same as the past. And you're going to need a cushion. You're going to need a protector. You're going to need a provider. And your children are going to need it. And that's good. And that's right. And that's wise. And that's healthy. And that's needed in this family. So that's what I would say. Tell me what you guys think. Let me just see what we got here. My ex thought it was worth having a TV hit her in the head at a restaurant so her absent dad would get a payout. Talking her out of that mindset sort of proved to be a honey trap, though, in hindsight. Yeah. Taylor Swift is an anathema to fatherhood roles, as is her followers. That's my naked assumption. Maybe that's why your Twitter was X'd out. Why is she an anathema to fatherhood roles? I'm not sure. You're welcome. I hope that helps. A man would gladly walk barefoot through freezing snow to bring his woman a hot chocolate if he knows he is loved and he is appreciated. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that tip. Yeah, I hope it helps. I mean, we are going to need each other, man. Winter is coming. We are going to need each other in the years to come. And it probably is not going to be more than a year or two out. I mean, when you genuinely taste and imbibe love, everything else is kind of nonsense, if that makes sense. Everything else is just kind of irrelevant and unimportant and all of that. All right. Questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems. How can philosophy help you? The best, the most, the greatest. Stop opening in the background all these programs. I know, startup manager. I find they did get Linux working, by the way. Somebody say, I would say because of her songs about breakup. However, one moment stands out in particular where the ex would listen to and drive aggressively. I'm sure the hot and easy weather, access to food played a role too in the fact that I dedicated the journey to her. Sorry, Richard, that's a bit of a word salad. Well, I mean, Taylor Swift is, she just became a billionaire. I mean, she's a money-making machine, so nobody wants her to get married and have kids. Everybody knows that a lot of artists' greatest work come out of heartbreak, and so they want her to make up and break up because that produces albums that make money for people. And, she's a workhorse for pulling the plow to make the money for others who don't have her beauty and talent and all of that, so. What if you take the free giveaway from government and then use all that free time in some productive way? You're assuming that there's no cost to your soul taking blood money enforced from others. No. I can do good with that. Yeah, well, what can I say? You're just trying to lure yourself into taking free stuff, as if there is any such thing as free stuff. Now I can do good with these ill-gotten gains. Yes. Go read Crime and Punishment. Bingo, don't take the ticket. It's always a Faustian deal. Yeah, I mean, I wrote two novels when I took a break from my tech career. If I'd had a bunch of free money, I just would have had less incentive and less hard work, right? What do you think will be the tipping point for fiat collapse? I'm not sure what you mean by the tipping point. I mean math, right? I don't know what you mean by the tipping point. I'm happy to answer, but I don't know what tipping point means. You know, somebody who's a chain smoker for 40 years, what's the tipping point for them getting sick? Well, chain smoking for 40 years. I mean, what's that one? You're going to find that one cigarette. It doesn't matter. Nobody knows. There's one cigarette. You don't smoke that cigarette. You don't die of smoking. You do smoke that cigarette. You die of smoking, right? Nobody knows when that is, which is why you don't smoke. So for some people, it's early. For some people, it's late. For some people, it might even be never. So there's no one thing that happens that makes this tip over, right? What is the tipping point of an avalanche? Well, it's just physics, right? But nobody knows exactly when it is or where it is. So. All right. While I'm waiting for questions, I will read a couple of bookmarks which I have. Google searches for Bitcoin have surged globally in the last 3 weeks. Yes, very, very interesting. Have you heard this? Wife had some single friends over, conversation shifted to the type of men they're attracted to. All began to describe their dads. Well, my dad is my height, so I don't mind shorter men. My dad always wore a hat. I love guys in hats. I have learned a lot. So I think that's interesting. And this is what I wrote about in my book, Peaceful Parenting. Which is, your father is your template for sexual success, just as your mother is your template for sexual success, because they've successfully given birth to you and raised you. All right, let me just make sure I'm not losing any questions out here. What about when the majority of society realize fiat is no good? No, that's going to be after. It's not before, that's after. You think people are going to realize fiat is not real money, and then there'll be a collapse? No, it's going to happen after. Good Lord. Sorry. Here's the thing. Like, hit me with a why if you love flossing your teeth. Do you enjoy flossing your teeth, whether it's the water pick thing or do you enjoy, do you love flossing your teeth? No, of course not. It's kind of weird. It's kind of, you know, I've got some real tight teeth back in there. As I still have my wisdom teeth, it's where all my philosophy comes from. And my saliva. But yeah, it's kind of boring, right? But you got to do it, right? Please floss. please floss. Hope it's not a controversial opinion. Please floss. I have to stretch every night or I get Jimmy legs. Kind of boring. Kind of boring to stretch every night. And sometimes exercise is kind of dull. A lot of times exercise is kind of dull. Unless you step on a nail, in which case it becomes quite exciting. So there's a lot of dull stuff in life. And if you don't do it, you're kind of screwed, right? I mean, all the people are like, oh, flossing, no, that's for the petty people. It's like, okay. Good luck with your denture-based lifestyle. So there's a lot of kind of stuff that's dull that you kind of got to do in life, right? Now, learning about economics is just kind of one of these things. Now, there's a couple of people who are kind of freaky who love economics. I just happen to find it very interesting because it makes the world comprehensible and it's not too bad for managing your money. But a lot of people are like, ugh, economics is so boring. Who cares? Stuff happens. It's all a game. It's all rigged. It's like, yeah, but it's a game and it's rigged and you kind of need to know it. So people are going to end up learning about economics one way or another. And they're either going to learn about it and try and make better decisions in who they vote for and what policies they support or in what happens when there's a crisis, or they don't learn anything about economics and they're like, oh my God, the grocery prices, they're so high. Like, what is up with these prices? They're just ripping us off. It's gouging. You know, whatever, right? Yeah. All right. So you're gonna learn about economics at some point, just like most people are going to learn how to hunt deer in the shadows of the Empire State Building at some point. That's from Fight Club. But yeah, people are going to learn. People are going to learn. Why are you storing up so much food for the winter? I suggest you do it. Ah, don't be ridiculous. I don't just store up food for the winter. All right. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. But I'm pretty sure you're going to figure it out at some point, right? So, yeah, I get it. It's more fun to watch some TV or go dancing or go and show your TA at the club. I guess more fun to do that than it is to learn about economics. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, it's more fun to not floss than it is to floss. But I'll see you at the dentist next year. All right. It reminds me of the story, a man drinks 6 shots with the devil on the deal that 1 shot has a deadly poison, but drink the rest and you get fame and fortune. He drank 5 and refused the 6, thinking he won. The poison, the devil said, was in shot number 3. Slow acting, he's already damned. You never know where the safe line is. Yeah, that's right. Well, this is back to the first question. Yeah, grasshopper in the ant, that's right. All right. Yeah, they'll put in price caps and then there'll be shortages. I mean, it's all so boring, so predictable, so nonsensical. All right. Suggestions for working with the subconscious. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Suggestions for working with the subconscious that distracts me from the dream project. It is also motivating me to work on. A subconscious that distracts me from the dream project, it has also motivated me to work on. Are you thinking that your subconscious is one thing? Like it's kind of hypocritical? I want you to work on this dream project. Oh, I'm going to distract you. Okay, so if your dream project has any sort of depth or power or virtue in it, then you're going to be motivated to work on it, but everybody else in your unconscious is going to be like, stop, don't, please, don't. Right, so I got a question today, which was, does philosophy have a unifying effect on culture? And I'll spare you the long speech, but basically it went something like this. Oh, absolutely, man. Philosophy has an incredibly unifying effect on culture. It gets everyone on the same page, gets everyone to line up with the same goal and the same objective. And the objective is to attack and destroy philosophy and philosophers. So yes, absolutely, philosophy unifies culture in the endless attack upon philosophers. It's really great the way that philosophy brings everyone together. Everyone drops their fighting and focuses on the common enemy, reason, truth, evidence, and wisdom. So yeah, incredibly unifying. Beautiful. How do I tackle hyper-independence as a woman When it doesn't stem from hatred of men, but concerns of financial manipulation, having a wretched mother literally kicked out by my father with nothing. Mother was very manipulative and threatened to kick me out as a teen when I disagreed. I know. But I need to date and get married and stay home with kids. Is this just a trust issue? Okay, let me just make sure that's a, I appreciate the paragraph, but I want to make sure I break it out. How do I tackle hyper-independence as a woman when it doesn't stem from hatred of men, but concerns of financial manipulation, having watched mother literally kicked out of by a father with nothing? So your mother got kicked out by your father with nothing, but you don't have any dislike or hatred of men? Really? Okay, let me ask you this. Maybe we just need to do a call in. You can email me callin@freedomain.com. But did your mother blame your father for kicking her out? Because the way you say, kicked out by my father with nothing, it's like, well, what was she doing? Why did he kick her out? Why was it so negative for him? And why did she, if either he was an okay guy and she drove him nuts to the point where he kicked him out, or he was a really bad guy, in which case, why did she have a child with him? All right. So, yeah. Hyper-independence. I mean, you read my novel, The Present, and watch The Journey of Rachel. She's very independent. You're right. She did blame him. Yeah, of course. Isn't this, this is the most common response when people are harmed in some way, is that they remove their own agency from the equation and completely blame the other person, right? And we all do this. Everyone does this. It's kind of natural. It's kind of inevitable, at least based on the way we're raised, right? When someone is harmed, they remove themselves from the equation completely and 100% blame the other person. They play the victim. They pretend to be the victim. And that's incredibly toxic for the children. Well, men will just betray you. And it's like, okay, so you poison your children against men because you chose an asshole. Right? You poison your children against love rather than take responsibility for who you chose to be the father of your children. You literally cripple your children's ability to pair bond rather than take any ownership or responsibility for the very bad choices you made. I mean, that's Aztec levels of child sacrifice, you understand, right? Sacrificing your children's capacity to love and pair bond and choose a good father for their children. Sacrificing, crushing, and destroying, disemboweling your children's capacity for love on the endless altar of your own vanity and irresponsibility. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking, in this case, your mother. Man, that's really awful. That's really awful. I mean, if I had played the victim on deplatforming, do you know what that would have done to my daughter's potential for any trust in society? You understand? If I'd have been like, well, I just did everything right and I didn't do anything wrong and they just attacked me for, I didn't take any risks and I just got blown up out of nowhere and blah, 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 blah. I'm a victim. Nope. I got the inevitably necessary information out to the world, got nuked for it. Still make that deal again. Because now everything that I talked about is absolutely coming true, but at least people know why. At least people know why. And sometimes they'll nuke you and then they'll commune with your ghost and say, yeah, you were kind of right. Yeah, you were kind of right. And your hyper-independence, your mom wasn't. Okay, so let me ask you this. This is back to the listener who gave me this, right? So how did your mother pay the bills after she was kicked out by your father with nothing? How did your mother pay the bills? Oh, let's talk about all of this independence. How did she pay the bills? So independent. How did she pay the bills? Oh, is this the same person? Hang on. It's a little hard to... Oh, yeah, okay. So you say, I don't think I internalized a hatred for men because I recognized her flaws clearly and she threatened me with the same thing, so they were the same to me, or so you think. So she threatened to, after your father threw her out with nothing, she threatened to throw you out with nothing when you were a child? Is that right? Extended family helped. She also dated. Okay. Who paid the bills from the extended family? Did the single moms pay her bills from extended family, or was it more the men? Just out of curiosity. It was the men. Of course it was. Of course it was. Of course it was. So where's all this hyper-independence? Oh, and she dated. So she got men to pay her bills in exchange for sex, right? Is that right? She dated men, and they paid her bills if she had sex with them. So I'm not sure this hyper-independence, she wasn't independent. Women with children are never independent. Like, they're never independent. Because somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to provide the kids dental care, health care, clothing, food, shelter, educational materials, education as a whole, or whatever they want to call it these days. There's no independence. It's just a question of who you're dependent on. Are you dependent on someone who loves you, or someone who feels obligated to you, or somebody who's just buying your vote by stealing from your children? So, hyper-independence, there is no independence when you're a parent. There's no independence. I'm not independent. My wife's not independent. We have a kid. We're reliant upon each other. I mean, that's how it should be. That's how it is. So this independence thing is a complete delusion. I mean, I'm happy to hear the case otherwise, but this idea that I'm just independent, that's what I was trying to get across in that speech, right? To the daughter, you're not independent. The only way that women can pretend to be independent is they're selling their children's future for food stamps. Right? They're auctioning off their children in return for rent subsidies. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's a slave market. It's just brutal. It's appalling. It's wretched. Independent. Independent my ass. It's like saying my ass is independent. No, it's not. It goes where I go. Sometimes it tells me where to go. Do you think banks would give out larger home loans over longer periods if automated homesteading became more cost-effective? Sorry, Chris. Love you to death, man. That is one of the least interesting questions I've ever been heard on this show. Sorry, I don't mean to be mean. I really don't. But is that really the biggest moral issue in your life at the moment? Would banks give out larger home loans over longer periods if automated homesteading became more cost-effective? Really, this is your big moral thing in your life at the moment? Sorry, I don't know. I mean, I try to get into the mindset of that, and it could be a complete deficiency on my part, but I can't rouse myself to care, and I'm sorry. And of course, you know the answer to that, that if homesteading was more efficient, then of course banks would give better loans, right? So I'm not sure what you're asking or why. All right. Any other tips for the hardest working philosopher the world has ever seen? Like the stream. That is right. Like the stream. Like it is golden water coming from the sky to quench your bottomless thirst. That's right. Women's independence seems like a coping mechanism to avoid risks of bonding. Well, what percentage of single mothers remarry? Hit me with your guesses. You know, but what percentage of single mothers remarry? 10, 30, 5, 80. No, it's about 15%. About 15%. Why do women profess to be independent? Why do women profess to not need no man? Why do they profess to be independent? Why do women profess to be independent? What's the strategy there? It's not accidental. It's very common, right? Why do women profess to be independent? To save face because no good man will want them. Don't trust a man. Ain't got no dad. to hide the blood money they get from the government. Society tells them that is the goal. Yeah, but society sells them people that slenderness is kind of the goal, and people don't follow that, right? So they don't look needy because they gain state resources. No, they get that either way. All right, I will tell you why women... So, how base should we go? Minus 10 for super base, plus 10 for incredibly diplomatic. Minus 10 to plus 10. I always know the answer, but I always like to ask because it seems quite polite. Should we peel back the gynocentric estrogen layers to get to the core? Oh, we got a plus 10 here. Oh, I got a plus 10 from a guy whose shortened name is Dick. Yeah, so the plus 10 wants to be diplomatic and not tell the truth to women. That's what dicks do. I get it. Says the dick. I want to get it. All right. So the modern woman's dating strategy is to try and have sex with the highest status male she can in the hopes that he will pair bond with her. Now, if a woman says to a man, if you want to have sex with me, you're going to need to commit to me, then she is much less likely to have sex with a very high status man. You follow? If the price of sex is commitment, then she's going to end up having to settle for someone on her own level of appeal and attractiveness. But if she's like, well, I'm independent, I don't need no man, then she's going to be able to have sex with a higher status male because the higher status male will view that as something extraordinarily temporary. But deep down, of course, the hope is that if she has sex with him, he will commit to her. Does this sort of make sense? Yeah, it makes sense, right? So she says she's independent to signal to the man that it will be consequence-free sex, which means that the man is going to be much more likely to have sex with her if he's high value and high status, and then her hope and her goal is that he will bond with her over the sex and she will get the high status male by pretending she doesn't need a man. Sounds like a form of fraud. I'm sorry, are you unacquainted with evolution? Are you unacquainted with evolution? Do you know that most mating strategy is based on deception and fraud and, right? Yeah. So with women as a whole, it used to be the case that a woman would have to be super appealing to get a high status male to bond with her, and then he would commit to her, they would get married, and then they would have sex afterwards, right? So she would need to work on her qualities of character. So the typical and one of the most famous examples in literature is Elizabeth Bennet. Elizabeth Bennet is from which book, my literary friends? Elizabeth Bennet is from which book? Prude Prejudice. That's actually quite funny. I don't know if that's a typo. Prude Prejudice, that's quite funny. Yeah, so Pride and Prejudice. It is a truth universally acknowledged that every young man in want of a wife must be in search of marriage, right? Something like that, right? So, yeah, Pride and Prejudice. So Elizabeth Bennet, what are her qualities that draw Darcy almost against his will, who's very proud and very cold and very aggressive? What are her qualities of character that draw him to her, this fabulously wealthy, very attractive, and proud man? What are her qualities of character that draw him to her? If you've never read the book, she's a delightful writer, and you really should read the book. I'm sure it's been remade with a Palomino horse in the lead role these days or something like that. She's good-humored. She's easy-tempered. She is strong. She takes care of her family. She is very responsible. She's a very good housekeeper. She takes care of her sister when her sister gets ill, if I remember rightly. And she displays extraordinary qualities of virtue, depth, good humor, and character. Yeah, she's independent. Her sister throws herself at men. A wit, honest, common sense, courage. Oh, you suffered too. Jude the Obscure. Ah, the Mayor of Casterbridge is the one I'm thinking of. I actually adapted the Mayor of Casterbridge stage once. It was great. And she's attractive. She's not as pretty as her sister. There was a very good version of, was it Pride and Prejudice? Was it? Yeah, it was Pride and Prejudice with Hugh Grant and that lady from Titanic and Kenneth Branagh's ex-wife and so on, right? So she is able to snag, she's not upper class herself particularly, she's able to snag a very high quality man because of her qualities of character. At least high quality in terms of he's staggeringly wealthy and attractive, and like he was the Christian Grey of his time, right? So she's able to get a high quality man, but she has to have high quality character herself. And that's what happened. So in order to get a high quality man, Colin Firth. Yeah, Colin Firth was pretty good. Pretty good. I watched that with my wife and daughter, and when Colin Firth as Darcy is saying, I can't stand that I'm attracted to you, but fine, let's get, and my daughter was like, straight to the altar. The fact that he's, because he's fighting himself so much in confessing his attraction to her that that's real pair bonding, right? And yeah, I think the BBC one is also great and well worth the time. So, although Colin Firth went completely horrifying later on in his career, where he's just slaughtering all the Christians in that movie. I can't even remember what it was called. It was just an appalling, appalling, vile scene. Could only come out of Hollywood. So yeah, that's how women used to be able to get higher quality men, was to be extraordinarily high quality themselves. You had to be good, you had to be smart, you had to be sensible, you had to be wise, you had to be witty, you had to work on qualities of character, and then you could climb it. And this is because women were expressly forbidden from trying to vault the class through sexual access, right? To vault the numbers, to upscale, to, I don't know how we'd want to put it, to vault the sexual market value through the offer of sex. But now a woman can go up 3 to 5 numbers on the sexual market value through the offering of sex. And so this is why women are responding rationally, if somewhat self-destructively. They're responding to this rationally by what do they spend their time and money on in order to get the high-quality men? What do they spend their time and money on? Time, money, effort, and energy, what do they spend it on? Makeup, going to the gym, getting their hair done, getting their nails done. I mean, I saw a pretty cold video the other day of a woman saying, yeah, if a guy wants to go out with me, he's got to spend at least $200. And the guy interviewing her was like, well, why? It's like, and eventually it came down to, look, my face cream is $300. My under eye makeup is $200. It's $150 worth of makeup. That's my money. That's my money. So he's got to spend money because I'm spending money just to go out with him. It's an investment, right? It's an investment. Has a man ever been attracted to a woman's well-manicured fingernails? Well, yes, of course. Because what do well-manicured fingernails say to a man unconsciously? What do well-manicured fingernails say to a man unconsciously? Yeah, it means that you don't have to work hard. This is why women wear white, because it means you don't have to work in the field. This is why women get their hair delicately done, because it means you don't have to work in the field, which means that you come from a high IQ family and there's wealth and there's intelligence. And because there's wealth and there's intelligence, you're going to end up with your kids doing much better, right? Do you follow? I mean, all of the stuff that doesn't seem to make sense, makes perfect sense. Nails are a huge turnoff to me. Okay. Yeah, everyone has particular things that go against the general trend. So what? So what? And then maybe at a subconscious level for the nails, it's not easy to notice. Well, yes, of course it's a subconscious. I mean, the more subconscious it is, the better it is, right? This is why, women got so mad at me when I would point out all of the tricks of female makeup. Because once you become conscious of it, it doesn't work on you anymore. In fact, it turns from something that's attractive to something that's a negative. Does this make sense? Like once you understand that lipstick, for instance, is designed to simulate intense sexual arousal and blush is designed to simulate orgasm, and basically the woman's makeup is designed to give you the O face, right? So once you're aware of that, you look at a woman and it goes from being attractive to being like, oh, I don't want face porn in my vision. Thank you, right? I don't want face porn around, right? So that's why women got mad, because they have invested into physical, some women, they've invested into physical attractiveness, and I'm flipping that switch so that what they've invested in as far as physical attractiveness goes now becomes unattractiveness, particularly to intelligent, high-quality men. So of course they're going to get mad. Oh, it's mostly for herself. Yeah, right. It's just for me. No, it's not. That's very funny. It's like the guy who buys the Maserati. Oh, man, it's just because I like fast cars, man. I'm just a Tracy Chapman fan, right? I mean, it's all about money. Right? It all comes down to money in so many ways, right? How much do women spend just on their faces over the course of their lifetime? How much do women spend? And this data is 7 years old. No, 6 years old. How much do women spend on just their faces over the course of their lifetime? Yes, that's right. $300,000. U.S. And this is back in 2017 when $300,000 really meant something. And that's on average, right? That's just on average. So that's how many products does the average woman use before leaving the house? How many products do women use before they leave the house in the morning? It's wild. They use 16 products. There's serum and toner and face wash, foundation, concealer, and bronzer. The average woman spends 10 minutes applying all 16 of these steps, 7 minutes of skincare at night. It's quite mad. And this is just what women are willing to admit to, and that's on average. Right? I'll put the link in the show here so you can peruse it at your leisure. And I personally, I think it's a real vicious circle, right? Because the more makeup you use, the more rough it's tough, the more tough it is on your skin. And so the more you need, right? So can someone give me what is $300,000 in 2017 compared to now? And then can you do me a favor and then just give it on in Canadian dollars? $300,000. Yeah, of course, Kylie Jenner got her billionaires through the makeup business, right? And I don't know, did she do plastic surgery? I guess, right? So if a woman is halfway through her life, her adult life, and she's invested $250,000 on looking better, and I come along and turn that from a positive to a negative, that's crazy, right? So instead of attracting a man with all of this stuff, she repels a man with all of this stuff. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so we're talking $376,000 over the course of their life in American dollars. What's that? Close to $500,000 Canadian? $500,000, 521 $1,000 Canadian just on her face. Just on her face. Doesn't count hair, doesn't count nails, doesn't count whatever else is going on, right? And I think that's just makeup. That doesn't count eyebrow plucking or anything like that, right? Oh, my gosh. It's quite mad. So turning something from an asset to a liability is a huge swing. So let's just round it up to $600,000. So I'm turning an event, like just with a couple of tweets, I can turn something from plus $600,000 to minus $600,000 because instead of attracting a man, it now repels him. And so we're talking about a swing of $1.2 million. $1.2 million. Do people get kind of mad when you take a $600,000 asset and turn it into a $600,000 liability? Do they get mad? Of course they do, which is why the women got so enraged at me. Does this make sense? I don't know if that math works, seeing that the average woman makes the $30 take home. Yeah, but this is over the course of her whole life, right? And, I mean, we can look elsewhere. Now, this is something newer. Every woman knows that not all makeup is created equal. Here it's saying that just on makeup, lifetime it's over $15,000. Monthly cost of $40,000, that seems a little low to me. Again, what do I know, right? U.S. total amount spent on makeup products. How much money do you spend on makeup products in the last 3 months? 0.81%, say $500 or more. But yeah, a lot of them say less than 50. But again, I don't know how they measure all these various things. But even if we say it's just half of that, I'm still turning it from a $300,000 plus to a $300,000 liability. So going from a plus to a, because it's not, I don't just take away the value of makeup, I turn it into a negative. So then what happens is women who invested in their looks rather than in the quality of their personality, what happens then is when you take away, if let's say makeup becomes a negative because men are becoming wise to it, right? So let's say that makeup becomes a negative. Instead of it being a plus, it becomes a negative. Then a woman has to go out without wearing makeup. She has to go on a date without wearing makeup. As men, we can't comprehend how unbelievably terrifying it is for many women to go out without makeup, and especially on a date. I mean, ladies, tell me if I'm wrong. If how much money would you have to be offered if you were really, really interested in a guy to go on a date with no makeup and without getting your hair done or anything like that, letting the gray out or the wrinkles or whatever's going on, no matter how old you are? How difficult is it for a woman to go on a date without makeup? And we're not talking about some ass dark restaurant. We're talking about, you know, late afternoon, sun's out. How tough is it for women? Truly can't. Yeah, this is why you like beach pool dates. Yeah, well, good luck with that. I did, wasn't bad. Yeah, yeah. Like a guy going shirtless. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. It's a little bit like that. My wife never did, but she's exceptional. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember working with a girl up north and we had to go into town to get groceries and I had to wait for an hour for her to put her face on. Lioness said her would-be husband demanded to see her without makeup before he would agree. Oh, I'm sure you've seen that meme someone can post it here where it's like men before and after a shower and they go from like real shaggy and scowly and scruffy to like really great looking. Whereas like women before and after the shower, they go from like beauty goddesses to half Fiona trolls. It's pretty funny. I've heard comedians recommend to take their day to a water park. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could be. Could be. So if, and it's all opportunity cost. So the more that time and energy and effort that you spend on makeup, it's less time, effort, and energy you spend on the quality of your character, or maybe on exercise, or maybe on whatever, right? Yeah, that's a picture, but that, yeah, there's a video of it as well. Yeah, so before bath and after bath, before bathing and after bathing is pretty funny. So, and of course, you've seen those makeup, if you've seen those makeup tutorials on YouTube, I would recommend, man, you need to watch them. You need to watch them to see what kind of wild voodoo is possible for this kind of stuff. It's just incredible what women can do with makeup as a whole. It's crazy. So yeah, this is why women get mad, because men are going to look past the makeup, or going to look at makeup as a warning about the quality of the character, right? So what I was teaching men was that an excessive devotion to beauty comes usually at the expense of the quality of character. And for the women who've invested in the quality of beauty rather than the quality of character, if I'm teaching the high-quality men, and remember, my audience is high-quality men as a whole. I mean, high-quality women for sure, but just talking about men as a whole, because, you know, they're smart, they're curious, they're intelligent, they're wise, they've got self-knowledge. Some of them, you know, some of you guys make some pretty decent coin, if not good coin. So when I say to my audience, beauty, a focus on physical beauty is often a marker for poor personality. You know, this is nothing new to me, like the hot matrix, the hot crazy matrix and all of that, right? So I am warning men away from the honey trap, the Venus flytrap of an excessive devotion to physical appearance. So I'm taking the high quality men out of circulation and redirecting them towards the moral qualities of women, right? Oh, these days, online dating people use face apps. Yeah, AI, Photoshop, filters, and crazy angles. They look 1 to 3 points lower in person. Yeah, yeah. I used to be married to an aspiring makeup influencer. It was crazy, the change. Oh, yeah, the before and after. It's just wild, right? It's just wild. Like, I don't know. Does anyone see an Amaranth without 4 roller planes worth of foundation on her? Was it Amaranth? She's now making a beer based on her vaginal yeast. And it's like, Gabriel, again, with the trumpets, please. Again, with the trumpets, please. It's horrendous. Not the vaginal yeast beer. What, is that any worse than Gwyneth Paltrow's goop vagina candles? What? Oh, I got your attention with vagina yeast, didn't I? Yes, yes, yes. Don't go yeast, go west. Oh, it's all Ed type stuff, isn't it? My mind has been absolutely open to the feminine world. There's some true beauty in a woman who sees character accurately. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and of course, my goal is to encourage virtue, not vanity, right? Vanity and virtue. To have virtue, you need to confront and take down your vanity. Because your vanity says, I'm right for breathing, I'm right for existing, and you need to subject yourself to external rules and laws and morals in order to be a moral person. And anybody who tries to bypass vanity can't end up virtuous, right? One of the girls who sold their bathwater, yes, Belle Dauphin. I did a whole April Fool's about Belle Delphine. I did a whole April Fool's about selling my bathwater. Yeah. I'm not sure whether it's gay or straight to use a long neck beer bottle to drink a woman's vagina yeast. I don't know where that is on the spectrum, but it is definitely pan poly something or other. It's some sort of unicorn of horn up the butt thing going on. I have no idea. Oh, yeah, that online hypersexualized world is like a whole other. I remember some years ago I did a call-in show with a guy who was so devoted to some Tate beast in Eastern Europe that he'd gone to organized crime to get money to try and bring her over. Whew. No wonder the FDR bathwater I bought never arrived. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, well, Amaranth has a terrible relationship with her husband. He was screaming at her on some stream and all of that, right? So, yeah, it's bad, man. It's bad. Somebody says, Steph, your advice is so important to me. Thank you so much. Just like you said in a previous live stream, being unable to think is sort of like Helen Keller before she knew language. Everything is just sensation of nerve stimulation. I'm paraphrasing. I feel as though I can think now. I can really put words to what is right and wrong. I have understood. I have understanding thanks to you. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure I've helped, but it's really, really your job. Maybe I wrote a recipe. You're the guy who learned how to cook in your own life. So I appreciate that. Speaking of which, why are there so many female comedians talking about their vagina? Well, we know the answer to that, right? We know that, right? No, sex doesn't sell. I mean, of course it does, but so the reason why female comedians always end up talking about sex is so that the males in the audience are more positively disposed towards them because your standard's lower when sex comes into the equation. Everybody knows that, right? Which is why the O-face has men dating women they wouldn't otherwise date. Like the makeup O-face, right? It's all a sex doll face. Like once you really see it, you know that women are just turning their faces into orgasmic sex dolls. It's really sad. And I mean, transparently manipulative and all of that. So yeah, so women will talk about their vaginas on stage so that men start thinking about sex and then they're more positively disposed towards the vagina, right? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Christopher Hitchens had whole articles about women not being funny and so on, right? Don't forget to donate, y'all. That's entirely true. Hit me with a Y if you're here for, you know, you haven't been here for a while. Hit me with a Y. I can't do that. I can't hit with a Y. Hit me with a Y if you haven't been here for a while. All right. A couple. Yeah, that's fine. You know what? Why don't I could do something nice. Just if you haven't donated for a while, you haven't donated in a bit, I'll give you, I'll give you the feed for the Peaceful Parenting book. Why not? It's darn fine. This is absolutely the toughest thing I've ever worked on. Like without even a remote doubt, it's the toughest thing I've ever worked on. Oof, it's wild. All right. Oh, you are so very playful. All right, so let's go here and we'll get you the feed. Let's give it out to you. All right, there we go. All right. Normally this is just going straight out to donors, but for those of us here on this Friday night, let's do it. I haven't tuned in for a bit as new dad and son is colicky, so I'm on 24-hour sooth duty. Oh, as I thought you meant, okay, you're a new dad and your son is colicky. That's tough. That is tough. Please keep that link private if you don't mind. I'd appreciate that. Yeah, colicky babies, that's tough, man. That's tough. I really do sympathize. We didn't have much of a crier, but she also wasn't much of a sleeper, so there was quite a lot of 24-hour duty as well as that went, right? We're just talking about that. My family's just talking about that today. My wife was like, with regards to my daughter, it was like 4:47 every morning she would wake up. All right. Any last questions, comments, issues? I've done quite a lot of work today. I did two shows and worked on my book. So, with you and your wife getting little sleep, honestly, it's probably well worth it for one of you to take a night and the other one to just completely pass out, even if it means over at a relative's or parent's place or even a cheap motel or something. Somebody's got to go and get some sleep, in my opinion, right? It would be cool to have a peaceful parenting pamphlet to pass out. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. All right, but only if it gives bad parents paper cuts. Just kidding. It's really tough to know how to, I don't want to preach to the choir, but I also don't want to prod the beasts. So it was great to catch you live, Steph. Thanks for the great conversation. Thank you. I appreciate that. What are the signs that a woman would give off if she's attracted to you? All right. What signs, what will a quality woman say if she's attracted to you? know, what will they, hey there, Hottie, what will they, what, yeah. No, don't look for signs. Don't look for this or that or the other. You want someone in your life who's direct. Life is way too short to go around trying to read the tea leaves of other people's hidden behaviors. Oh, God, it's so exhausting. It's so boring. I think we've all been in another relationship where somebody is like, well, you're not a mind reader, and that's just patriarchy. Yeah. There's a hair flip and there's eye contact. No. A woman who's going to be worth dating is going to say, I'm having a great time. We should really do this again. Yeah, you're right, Ellie. I had a great time. Let's meet up again. I'd love to give you my number. I really enjoyed tonight. Let's do it again. Because that way you're not going to be in an eternal rat's fog maze of other people's manipulations, trying to guess the unguessable and know the unknowable and constantly being in the wrong and her having domination on you because you just can't read her constantly changing mind. Never gotten that sign? Well, you've got to, if she looks slightly to the left and up, that means she finds your hair attractive. No, see, the way that I knew that women found my hair attractive was they'd be like, whoa, there it goes. Whenever it was windy, that was it, right? Hey, Steph, asked this with a tap Wednesday, but understand I applied your guidance in regards to expecting value from your work while working. When working double, talked to my boss and he told me to be careful. I shut down and this deeply reminded me of my childhood thoughts. So you tried talking to your boss and he just warned you? He just was aggressive? It might not be the place to work, man. And you're probably drawn there because you're used to managing your boss's aggression because of your own childhood. So if your boss is like your parents and your parents were bad, maybe time to think about moving on to greener pastures. I mean, tell me, am I wrong? Am I wrong about this? That after philosophy, like nothing's the same? Like it's a whole different planet. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different universe. It's entirely different physics and chemistry and everything, right? The idea that there's much crossover before and after philosophy. I mean, I've said this from the very beginning of the show, like everything is different. Everything is different. I have nothing. I have nothing left over from before philosophy. Like nothing and no one is here who was there back then. Sometimes I feel like a Jedi. Well, hopefully without the same ending, but yes. Yeah, nothing's the same. Nothing's the same. Thank heavens. Nothing is the same. Thank heavens. That's my job of philosophy. That's my tagline to philosophy. Nothing's the same, thank heavens. It's like nothing else. It's like nothing. Like you learn how to become really good at pool. It's not like everything changes. You learn a foreign language. It's not like everything changes. I guess maybe it's closer to winning the lottery, but even winning the lottery, people follow you and want you. What happened to the people in your life when you got philosophical? What happened when you got practically and analytically and maybe even directly philosophical? What happened to everyone? Like, hey, I've got philosophy. It's like, brr, chainsaw time, brr, right? The zoomies, yeah, that's right. They got the zoomies. Yeah. Is it generally, do people perceive it as safer when you show up with philosophy or a chainsaw? Philosophy versus chainsaw, which would people prefer you show up to dinner with? Yeah, chainsaw, absolutely. Yeah, chainsaw. So, philosophy with a hammer, as the old Nietzsche book goes, or Nietzsche article. Two chainsaws. Yeah, no, it's rough, man. It's rough. Philosophy is the devil to the amorality of the world. It is as close to a living death as they can experience. I've been kind of obsessed lately with the idea that there's just a lot of people who are dead and don't know it. Really been thinking about that a lot. A lot of people died very early and were replaced with conformity and NPC speak, and they're not really here in the way that we would understand it. So I don't really know what to do with this thought, and I'm still kind of mulling it over, but in terms of, it's that old song, is anybody alive in here? Nobody but us. Yeah, who's around? Who's alive? Who's with us? Who's breathing, who's living, who's thinking, who's, right? Yeah, Miss Gridenko. It was a Stuart Copeland song, I think. I don't know. How many people are alive in the way that we would experience it or perceive it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but... And so I'm concerned. I guess my concern is that when you come to people with philosophy, the reason they're so frightened is they begin to smell their own decay, their own lack of aliveness, their own... the habits they call virtues, which are just programming. Seneca wrote, of all people, only those who are at leisure, who make time for philosophy, only they truly live. Yeah. That's right, I just lost the chance. Yeah, it's, you know, it's like that chilling line from The Sixth Sense, I see dead people. How many are capable of thought, of reason, of curiosity, of changing their mind? And sometimes the more animated the people are, the less they are vital inside. I think of that with regards to, you know, the influencers and the people who are kind of manic online. And look, I have my manic side as well, but, you know, yeah, the Robin Williams stuff and all of that. So how many people can change their mind when presented with new evidence? I don't know if there's been a study on that. I'm sure there has been, but it's pretty low, definitely single digits and probably low single digits as well. People I've known who changed their minds on important topics are extremely rare. Yeah, it's really kind of chilling. All right, well, I'm going to close off. I forgot to eat again for a good portion of today, so I should probably get some food in the old belly. Thank you, everyone, so much. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to make the show on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. We'll do Telegram so we can get a chitty chat in and get the cathedral halls of reason filled with the light of other people's syllables. And if you're listening to this later, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, so much for a glorious and beautiful evening. And if you for the people who are having the questions, call in at freedomain.com. I'd love to chat with you about that as well. Take care of my foot. Already taken care of. Got the polysporin, got the antibiotics, got the tetanus shot. We are good to go. And I will be back right as rain probably by this time next week. All right. Thanks, everyone. Lots of love. Take care.